in this passage where the Lord leading his disciples, it says in verse 1 of Matthew 12, it says, at that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn. Some translations say it's a wheat field, but it doesn't matter. Whatever it is, it's either a cornfield or a wheat field. I'm perfectly satisfied with what the KJV says here. But he took them through the corn, a cornfield. And his disciples weren't hungry. They're hungry. And began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. And it says, when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. Picking corn, eating the corn, or harvesting wheat and eating that, either way. But this is the issue of the Sabbath. And I thought about this when I was doing this lesson. The timing here is so significant. I believe that the Lord consciously, purposely led his disciples through a cornfield, knowing they were hungry. And it's on the Sabbath day. Now, you know, this is such a pivotal time in the Lord's earthly walk, because this is where it began. You know, the Pharisees, the religious leaders, they hated Jesus of Nazareth. They hated his message. And they sort of tolerated it and opposed it up to this point. But here we come to the point where it says that they resolved in their minds to destroy him. You look at verse 14. It says, then the Pharisees went out, held a council against him, how they might destroy him. This is the point in his life that they determined that they were going to kill him. Some way, somehow, they were going to get rid of this man because they hated his message so much. And the reason we know that they hated his message is because that which they highly esteemed, such as Sabbath keeping, the Lord says is an abomination to God. Now, you know, the Sabbath was a special times. There wasn't just one Sabbath day. There were Sabbath weeks. There were Sabbath years. There are all kinds of Sabbaths. Sabbath keeping was sort of a token or one of the signs of the covenant. You can read about that back in Exodus 35. I've got that in your lesson. We won't turn there. But what the Sabbath means, rest. That's what the word means. In fact, we're going to see in Hebrews 4 the word that's translated by the King James translator as rest is literally Sabbath. And that's where he says there remains a Sabbath for the people of God, even today. But the Sabbath days was indicative and symbolic of the spiritual and eternal rest that God's people have in Christ based upon his finished work. And that was symbolized throughout the Old Covenant in days and weeks and years, that Sabbath rest. And it was the indicative of a finished work and rest. You work 6 days, you rest the seventh day. And it was a day, it was a week, it was a year. We could go, we don't have to go into all that, but the Sabbath keeping. Well, when Christ came and did his work on the cross and finished it, that's the rest that believers have today. Christ is our Sabbath. Our Sabbath today under the new covenant is not a day. It's Christ. And we need to see that. The Sunday is not the Christian Sabbath. Sunday is the first day of the week, and that's when the disciples met together in public worship, and that day was set aside. It was the day of recognizing the finished work of Christ, praising God, fellowshipping together. And it is a special day. But our Sabbath day, somebody asked me, I was talking to a Seventh-day Adventist one time years ago, and he asked me this. He said, where in the Bible does it say that the Sabbath changed from Saturday to Sunday? And I told him, I said, it doesn't say that. Nowhere. I said, what the Sabbath was fulfilled by, the Sabbath day was abolished by way of fulfillment in the person and work of Christ. And so it was the Catholic Church that changed it to said the Sabbath on Sunday or something like that. But the Pharisees, along with all, as they taught the people under the law, they misused the Sabbath. They turned it into a legal system of works, salvation, part of their trying to establish a righteousness of their own. But if you look over at Hebrews chapter 4, you know, here's what the writer of Hebrews is talking about here is how the Hebrews, after they came out of Egypt and they complained and they didn't believe and all, they refused to enter into the rest of the promised land. That promised land was a picture of the rest. Egypt was bondage. The promised land was rest, freedom, liberty. And of course, all that's a picture of how Christ led us, God's elect, out of the bondage of sin and Satan and the law into the rest of grace, saved by the grace of God. We rest. We're not trying to work or labor for our salvation. The work's been finished by Christ. And so that's what that picture. But the people didn't enter into the rest, and they died in the wilderness. So he says, look at verse 1 of Hebrews 4. He says, let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into, and I always love how this goes, his rest. Any of you should seem to come short of it, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. How do we enter into his rest? We enter into it by God-given faith. We believe in him. We rest in him. We're secure in him. We look to him. He is all of our salvation. He's all our righteousness. We're not working to and laboring to, you know, the Bible talks about this, how we're not working or laboring to make ourselves righteous in order to be accepted with God. Because Christ has already finished that work. And on down here, look at verse 9. Verse 9. It says, there remaineth therefore a rest, and that word is Sabbath, the keeping of a Sabbath, to the people of God. Well, what is that rest? Is it Sunday? No. He says, for he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Talking about the creation. When God created the world, then he rested on the seventh day. It doesn't mean that God got tired and had to re-energize himself or anything like that. It means the work was finished. And so there was no more work to be done. The creation was finished. Well, in the same way, Christ, in his death on the cross, as our surety and our substitute and our redeemer, he finished the work. He finished the transgression, made an end of sin, and brought in everlasting righteousness. Everything that God requires of us for salvation is finished, complete, and perfected by Christ for us. And so he is our Sabbath. And so it says in verse 11, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Isn't that strange how he puts that? Labor to enter into rest. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean we've got to work for our salvation? Well, no. We're to labor to enter into his rest. Why is it such a labor? I'll tell you why. Because we're still full of the flesh. Self-righteousness, unbelief, and we're in a battle within ourselves. And it is a labor. Not to be saved, not to finish the work, but it's a labor for us by God-given faith to have sealed in our minds that Christ is our Sabbath. But now if you go back to Matthew 12, the Pharisees, they challenged the Lord. They said that these disciples picking that corn and eating it, they've broken the law. And they were accusing Christ of breaking the law too because he allowed them to do it. And so Christ comes along here and he didn't break the law. We know that. Christ did not break any law. Remember back in Matthew 5 and verse 17 and 18 where he talked about he came to not to break the law, but to fulfill the law in every jot and tittle. He kept it perfectly. And then going to the cross, he satisfied its justice perfectly. For by one offering, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. And then he told the people, he said, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. They're laboring to keep the Sabbath. They're laboring to keep the law because what they did is they turned that law into a legal system of works for salvation. Now, why was the law given to Israel? It was given to show them their sinfulness. It was given to show them their need of salvation by the grace of God that would be fulfilled, finished in the perfected work of the Messiah to come. But they didn't know that. They refused to believe that. And so they challenged him. They said, well, your disciples are they're breaking the law. And you know, you all know that in the law, the breaking the Sabbath meant the penalty of death. You do know that. And I've got scriptures in your lesson here that will tell you that. But look at what he said. Christ raises some issues here to show them how wrong they are. Look at what he says in verse 3. But he said unto them, have you not read what David did, King David? Now, when he says, have you not read, you know what he's doing there? He's exposing their ignorance of the scriptures. These Pharisees, they've read these things. You remember in John chapter 5 when he said, verse 39, I think it was, he says, you do search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they which testify. You read the Bible. It's like people today. They read their Bibles, but they've missed the message. And of course, we know, according to what Christ said in Matthew 11, it's got to be revealed. And that's God's business. To whom will God reveal the arm of the Lord? Remember Isaiah asked that question? Well, who is the arm of the Lord? The arm signifies power. Well, what is the power of God that brings sinners to salvation? It's Christ. Remember 1 Corinthians 1? Christ, the power of God. Christ, the wisdom of God. So that's what he's talking about. So he says, have you not read what David did when he was an hungered, and they that were with him, he entered into the house of God, the temple, or the tabernacle, and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priest. David did that. Now, what's his point? Did David break the Sabbath? The answer is no. What Christ is going to show them is this. Under the law, on the Sabbath, day of rest, acts of necessity and acts of mercy were never forbidden. They never were. And so, when you read these things, keep them in the context. Back over, we won't turn here, Deuteronomy 23 and 25. Strangers, if hungry, were allowed on the Sabbath to pause in a field and eat some corn or eat some grain. That was an act of necessity. And so he cited this about David to eating the showbread only that was given only for the priest. And he said that this was an act of necessity that David did for his men for their strength. And then go on, he says in verse 5, or have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priest in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? In other words, they worked on the Sabbath, but they were held blameless. They didn't break it. Well, what was going on? He says, but I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. What the priests were doing each day was doing the work of the tabernacle or the temple that pictured the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, which is their whole salvation. And so in doing these works, they didn't break the Sabbath. They did what was necessary. And then another one, he says, and then acts of mercy, just like healing them. And you remember when Christ healed that man on the Sabbath And they challenged him then. And he told him, he says, you need to learn something. He said, I'll have mercy and not sacrifice. Acts of mercy were allowed. And he says, you're so attuned to keeping your ceremonies without mercy. The Pharisees had turned the Sabbath into a burden on the people. And it wasn't meant to be a burden. I could imagine that many of the Jews who were in the vicinity of the Pharisees, that they were scared, or they kept that day being frightened that the Pharisees would try to catch them. And there were all kinds of different codicils and laws that the Pharisees added to what was written in the law. And it was all for their own self-righteousness. It was all to feed their self-righteousness. And you know the story of the Pharisee and the publican, how the Pharisee said, I thank God I'm not like other men. I do this. I keep I give twice as much. You know, all of these things. That's what they were doing. And it was all an abomination unto God. I think about Isaiah chapter 1, where he said, I'm tired. God told the people through Isaiah, I'm tired of your feast days. I'm tired of your Sabbaths. I've had enough of them, because all they were doing was just legally, in unbelief, self-righteously trying to keep the law, thinking that they were better than other people. And he said, I'll have none of it. He says in verse 6, and this is the kicker. He says, but I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. How in the world could the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, put it that way, how could he honestly say that he's greater than the temple? You couldn't say that. I couldn't say that. No sinner saved by grace could say that. Only God manifest in the flesh could make that claim. And how could he say he's greater than the temple? Well, the temple was a picture of Christ himself. Who is, you remember in John 1:14, the Word was made flesh and tabernacled among us. Christ himself is the dwelling place of God. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And his church is called the temple of God. And that temple was a picture of Christ and his church. And it's all centered around the mercy seat, the Ark of the Covenant, which pictured his finished work. Having been slain on the altar of a brazen altar, the blood was taken back into the holiest of all and sprinkled on the mercy seat, picturing the finished work of Christ. There was no salvation in animal sacrifices. The blood of bulls and goats can never take away sin. But the blood of Jesus Christ did take away sin. So he's greater than the temple. The priesthood, that earthly priesthood, it had to be performed day after day, week after week, year after year. And the work was never done. There were no seats in the temple or the tabernacle, because the priest had to constantly go about their work. When one high priest died, there had to come another. And the priest had to offer sacrifices both for the people and for himself, because he was a sinner. But Christ, his priesthood is a greater priesthood. Remember Hebrews chapter 5 and 7 and 9 talks about that. His priesthood is an eternal priesthood. The righteousness that he established is the righteousness of God. So he's greater than the temple. All of these things, several ways you can say. But verse 7, he says, but if you had known what this meaneth, if you'd known what it meant that he was greater than the temple, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. Now, he himself says David was guiltless when he did that. His disciples were guiltless. They did not break the Sabbath. They did what was necessary, or Christ, in healing people, he did what was merciful. And they were guiltless. And if they had understood the issues of mercy and the issues of Sabbath keeping, what it pointed to, they wouldn't have condemned these men. Oh boy, think about it. We're not condemned. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. So he says in verse 8, he says, "For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day." Christ trumps it all. And he kept the law perfectly. And he's the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. He didn't break any commandment. He kept it every jot and tittle. And so here's the Sabbath day that they were to keep. It was to be a day of rest and worship when the people of God gathered together to praise the Lord, to rejoice and worship, to fellowship together. And here they turned it into a nitpicky, trying to figure, you know, how many miles have you walked and all. The law had those things in it. It was there. But they added to it for their own self-righteous purposes. But they didn't know Christ. They didn't know, they had never really truly entered into the spiritual eternal Sabbath, which is Christ crucified and risen from the dead. Christ, the Lord of the Sabbath. They missed it. And of course, we know, as Christ said, it's got to be revealed. Because if it's not revealed, no one's going to see it. Man by nature always thinks that he has a work to do in order to be saved. Whatever work it is. I always say it this way. Man by nature thinks that salvation is conditioned on himself in some way, to some degree, at some stage. And that's a person who's not entered in to the eternal Sabbath of God, which is Christ and Him alone. Okay.